Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Awesome, awesome. Hello, everybody. How's 10 o'clock? Thank you to all the incredible team that served so tirelessly over carols on Friday and Saturday night. Over 1,400 people in through carols over these two nights. So thank you to each and every one of you who served and helped make it an amazing, amazing couple of nights. It really, really was. So we dive into a new series this morning called Tis the Season. Because it is the season. Hey, it's the season where Joburg starts to get a little bit of holiday vibe happening. It's the season where we start to think that maybe, just maybe, the end of the year is going to come and we're going to get there safely and it's going to actually all be okay as we tuck into our Christmas dinner. But it's the kind of holiday season that we start to feel a little bit differently. It's also the season when, as a country, we start to go a little bit mad. Consumer-wise, the shops fill up. The malls get crazier than they've ever been. As Pastor Ken said, we adopt this thing called Black Friday. It's horrible. And at this time, it's so important that as followers of Jesus, we come away a little bit from culture. And we recognize that it is the season to think about Jesus. It is the season for us to come away a little bit and focus on Him. It is the season for us to come aside and to begin to consider what Christ's coming means for us. In the global church calendar at the moment, this is the season called Advent. Advent speaks to coming. This is the season where we begin to think about and focus on Christ's coming. And I thought, what better way this morning for us to kick off this series, saying it is the season to be thankful. It is the season to be grateful. Before we do anything else this season, let us come aside and start to consider thankfulness in our lives. Pastor Ken referenced Thanksgiving earlier. Did you know that the first Thanksgiving dinner, the first official Thanksgiving dinner, was actually held in 1578? Can you believe it? That long ago. And it was held by the Canadians, actually, 40 years before America ever got wind of Thanksgiving or before they ever started it. A man called Martin Forbisher, he was a sailor, and he succeeded in charting a course through the northern seas, the Arctic Sea, from Canada all the way through these islands and through these little archipelagos in the Arctic Sea, all the way around to China. Can you believe it? In 1570-something. Anyway, the guy survives the journey. He's so grateful. He's so thankful that he's still alive at the end of it. He takes some of the harvest that's given. They cook up a big feast, and it was the first official Thanksgiving dinner ever held, 1578, 40 years before the Americans ever got hold of Thanksgiving. Of course, then, as South Africans, we saw America, we saw that they do Thanksgiving on the Thursday. It's always the fourth Thursday of November. And then Black Friday follows that. Black Friday, in case you're wondering how the origins of Black Friday came, it came because the retailers, the shoppers, the people who were selling stuff, the traders, looked for a way that they could end the year in the black, in other words, making a profit and not in the red. And so Black Friday became known as the day when they would drop prices, have a massive sale, boost their sales numbers, end the year in the black, hence Black Friday. So, South Africa, we adopt Black Friday, as Pastor Ken said, and forget all about Thanksgiving. What's up with that? Have you seen the videos of Black Friday? Have you seen what macro looks like on Black Friday? Have you? It wasn't a rhetorical question. Have you seen what macro looks like on Black Friday? There are videos doing the rounds. It's pretty scary. It is, Pastor Steve and I were in Washington one year on Thanksgiving and then on Black Friday. So on Thanksgiving Day, there's hardly anything open, nothing much going on. We sat glued to our TVs on the Friday night, Black Friday night, because they put like a highlights reel together of the worst shopping experiences across America and put it together in one little half an hour package. You saw literally oaks were decking each other. They literally, some guys brought boxing gloves to the mall so that they could just have all for a TV. But on a serious note, I think to myself, I wonder to myself, it gets me thinking, what does it say about the psyche of us, our nation, when we adopt a shopping frenzy called Black Friday, but we forget to adopt the preceding Thanksgiving? Does that make sense? I wonder to myself, what does that mean for us? Now, it's interesting because Paul the Apostle, for those of you who might not know, Paul wrote many letters to the churches he planted. They became books of the Bible. Paul wrote 2/3 of our New Testament that we know today. Paul writes, and he writes in Romans, the first chapter of Romans, he writes, and he says to the church in Rome, it is a sign of a pagan person. It is a sign of a person who can barely acknowledge God, the fact that they don't give thanks. It's, by converse, it's a sign of a Christ-following person when somebody does give thanks. Listen to what Romans 1:21 says. Paul writes, and he says, yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. Speaking about unbelievers, speaking about pagan people. Do you know that it is a pagan mindset? It's a godless mindset for us to simply adopt a shopping frenzy without a thanksgiving associated with it. And I worry a little bit about the psyche of our nation, and I worry that our church and that churches around and that Christian people, followers of Jesus, if we're not careful, we will get infected by the culture. Bible says we're to live in the world, but not be of the world. We're supposed to engage with culture, but not capitulate to culture. We are supposed to engage culture, but not cave to culture. We are supposed to be the people who raise a flag and raise a hand and go, Black Friday's here, what happened to Thanksgiving?
Yeah, that's right.
Can I get some amens? It's a central theme of Scripture. Thanksgiving is important to God. Do you know that dozens of the Psalms written by different psalmists put thanksgiving, gratitude, they put it at the center of their theology. Psalm 100 verse 4 is maybe the most well-known for us. Maybe you've heard this one. It says, enter his courts with, not with a frenzy in the mall, waiting at midnight so you can get into the shop first so you can beat some oak to go and get your gaming console. Hey? It's gone so quiet in this gaming church here, clearly. It says, go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Alfred Painter said this. He said, saying thank you is more than good manners. It's good spirituality. I love that. Saying thank you is more than good manners. It's actually good spirituality. And I find kids are so good at this. Hey, kids, it seems, are able to be grateful easier. They're able to be thankful easier. I found something where they were talking about kids and the crazy stuff that kids say thank you for. I found it massively funny. Zoe, this little girl, she writes in and she goes, I'm thankful for cats. Now, before we go any further with what Zoe says about cats, let's just right now disagree with Zoe. We can't be thankful for cats. Amen. Cats are from the devil. Amen. Cats are satanic. Amen. If you have cats, you have Satan running in your house. You need to cast them out of your house. The way they look at you with those little devil eyes and... Anyway, right, so if you love cats, we kind of love you, sort of. If you have cats, chill out, it's okay. If you just wash your house in the blood of Jesus every day, it'll be fine. Okay, so she goes, I'm thankful for cats, but listen to this, she's very dramatic. She goes, I'm thankful for them because I grew up loving them and I wouldn't be able to be me without my cats. Okay, then she carries on. She goes, also, if I didn't have cats, all I would do is watch TV and eat. Little Joyce, she writes, she goes, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. This guy, James, you know, the more I've thought about this statement, the truer I think this is. He goes, James, this guy, he goes, let's all take a moment and be thankful spiders can't fly. Can I get some amens? If spiders flew, I would ask Jesus to take me now. Can there be any, I mean, a cat pales in comparison to a flying spider. Isabella, she's 9. She writes, I'm thankful for all the dead people because at least they tried. Jeez, that's rough. And then Kirsten, she's 11. She's got a smartphone. I don't recommend that your kid have a smartphone at 11, but anyway. She goes, I'm thankful for smartphones, okay? She goes, my smartphone allowed me to Google the number of the McDonald's where I was sitting in so that I could call them to bring me some toilet paper. If you've ever been there, don't raise your hand now. Just listen, Google can come in handy, eh? But you know, guys, there was a man called Robert Emmons. There's a man called Robert Emmons. He's a psychology professor at the University of California, and he's the world's leading expert on gratitude, actually. And he's also the author of the book called Thanks, The New Science of Gratitude, of How Gratitude Can Make You Happier. He writes, and in his research, he puts forward the idea that gratitude has two key components to it. The first component is that you and I realize, acknowledge, stop, take a moment and realize that there are good things in our lives. Aside from the challenges, aside from the difficulties, aside from the disasters, the catastrophes, aside from all of that stuff, he writes and he says, gratitude starts with an acknowledgement that A, there are actually good things in our lives. Secondly, that all those good things that are in our lives, if you really stop and analyze them, most of them have their source outside of you and I. Most of them have their origins not by us. Pastor Ken and I often look at our lives and we look and we say, the best things in our lives come directly from Him and have actually, if we're really honest, nothing to do with us at all. Anybody ever felt like that? In fact, the good things in our lives are in spite of us, not because of us. Robert Emmons writes, and he gives us three benefits of gratitude that science is beginning to uncover and beginning to confirm for us. The first is that physical health improves dramatically the more thankful and the more grateful we are. Did you know that grateful people exhibit lower blood pressure, lower bad cholesterol, higher levels of good cholesterol, and reduced stress levels? Isn't that incredible? Thankful people, he goes on to say, often perceive their good health as a blessing, as a blessing from God, a gift from God. And because of that, they are more likely to look after their health because they realize it as being a blessing and a gift from God. Physical health is the first benefit. The second benefit that he puts forward that science is now confirming is that our psychological health is improved when we're grateful and when we're thankful. He says that gratitude has the potential to reduce the frequency, I love his wording here, of toxic emotions such as envy, resentment, frustration, and regret. Simply put, he says, when you spend some time being thankful, you've got less time to be envious, less time to be regretful, less time to be vengeful, less time to be frustrated, less time to be jealous. Unknown quotist said this, it's not happy people who are thankful, it's thankful people who are happy. If you're waiting to be happy before you're thankful, I've got news for you, it ain't going to happen. If you be thankful, then you'll be happier. Physical health improves, psychological strength improves. Thirdly, third benefit is better relationships. They said grateful people display reduced levels of aggression and increased levels of empathy, thereby improving their relationships. Isn't that incredible? Why? Simply because they are grateful. Simply because they are thankful. Now, church, God knew that thankfulness, gratitude was good for us, which is why so much of Scripture counsels us, teaches us, encourages us to be thankful. It's a central theme in so many of Paul's letters. As I said earlier, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. This incredible man called Paul, he wrote to encourage his churches to be thankful. And here's the thing about Paul. So often he wrote letters to encourage his churches to be thankful while he himself was suffering tremendously. While he himself was battling so much in jail, having been beaten, having been shipwrecked, having been persecuted, having been isolated, Paul writes and he says, be thankful. Now he writes an amazing passage of Scripture in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And he writes, and before we get there, I just want to say, as you read these words in the next few moments, can you imagine living like this over the Christmas season? You know when your dodgy cousins are coming and you've got dodgy family coming over. And some of you, even now, I know you're dreading. You're thinking, you know, that person's got to come to my house now. Hey, anybody got like that? Put your hands up. Yes, lots of you. Yes, yes. You're worried about those dodgy cousins. Colossians chapter 3. Listen to what Paul, I feel like this is just a message for our internal world as we lead up to Christmas. He goes, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, since God chose you to be in Thrive Boxburg, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. Make allowance for the terrible cousin that you know is coming. Forgive anyone who offends you because they are going to offend you. Remember, offense is taken, not given, hey? Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And he goes on, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Paul now starts on this passage of Scripture where he mentions thankfulness three times. He goes, so as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. He's been talking about our interior world. He says, and now be thankful. Verse 16, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Please don't sing to each other all the time. Some of you shouldn't sing. Worship team, sing. And he goes, with what? Sing with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, through him, to God the Father. The Apostle Paul here, in this few verses where he mentions thanks three times, actually uncovers three dimensions of thankfulness that are so important for us if we are to practice, if we are to become people of gratitude and be people of gratitude who understand it well. Firstly, in verse 15, he says, always be thankful. I want you to notice this morning when Paul writes, he writes as an imperative. He writes as an instruction. He writes as a command. He goes, listen here, be thankful. He doesn't go, suggestion, an idea for you, take it or leave it, like maybe thought, thankfulness is nice, be thankful. No, he goes, be thankful. He doesn't say, listen here, if you're feeling good today, be thankful. He doesn't say if your husband woke up and made you a cup of coffee, be thankful. He doesn't say if everything's going perfect in your life, be thankful. He doesn't say if you woke up on the right side of the bed this morning, be thankful. He's saying, be thankful. When? Sometimes? Always. Always be thankful. Notice this morning that Paul is saying to us, be thankful. It's an instruction, it's an imperative, it's a command, independent of our feelings, and independent of our circumstances. If you and I live with our gratitude levels determined by our circumstances or by our feelings, we will never find reason to be grateful. Because newsflash, there's always going to be something going wrong, either in the world, South Africa, or in our lives. Are you with me? If you're waiting for the stars to align before you're grateful, newsflash, you're never going to be grateful. Because the stars don't align. Life is not linear. Life is not up and to the right. Life is peaks and troughs. It's valleys and mountaintops, isn't it? And Paul is saying, despite the mountaintops, despite the valleys, despite how you feel, be thankful. It's an instruction, it's a command, and it is active. First thing I want you to notice, the first thing that Paul is uncovering for us here as we begin to excavate what thankfulness means is, number one, it's active, and gratitude is a decision. You get to decide to be grateful, to be thankful. You know, our culture increasingly is teaching us to live in line with our feelings. I'll tell you, it's an exceedingly dangerous and bad way to live. If you let your feelings determine what you do, your life's going to suck forever. It's honestly going to be a disaster because you're never going to feel like exercising. You're never going to feel like saving. You're never going to feel like getting up early to serve. Are you with me? You're never going to feel like going to the gym. You're never going to feel like eating healthy. You're never going to feel like being committed to a marriage in a fight. Are you with me? If you decide to live your life based upon how you feel, your life's going to be a disaster. That's why Paul makes no allowance for feeling in the instruction to command us to be thankful. He goes, just be thankful. Doesn't matter if your life's not perfect. Doesn't matter if you've got challenges. Doesn't matter if the pressures are mounting. Be thankful. Number one, it's active and it is a decision. It's gone so quiet in this Methodist church this morning. Secondly, verse 16, Paul writes and he says, now teach each other, sing songs to God, etc. What? With thankful hearts. What's that telling us this morning? It's telling us that thankfulness is a heart issue. And gratitude is therefore an attitude of the heart. Second thing Paul is surfacing for us this morning as we excavate and uncover what it means to be grateful is that gratitude is internal and gratitude is an attitude. So it's internal and it's an attitude. Firstly, it's active and it's a decision. Secondly, it's internal and it's an attitude. Henry Ward Beecher said, gratitude is the fairest blossom which springs from the soul. Isn't that cool? Why? Because everything else springs from it. Not only is it active and a decision, it's internal and it's an attitude. Thirdly, Paul goes on in verses 15 to 17, and particularly in verse 17, he says this, you'll see it on the screen, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now Paul introduces a vertical element here. In other words, us and God. Paul has already touched on us personally. He's touched on our interactions with others. Now he says the third dimension, the third facet of thankfulness is there's an element of you and God here. And he says, it's vertical. Third thing I want you to know about gratitude is it's vertical. It's you and I acknowledging God in the equation. Which is why James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift is from where? Above. Coming down from the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. There are three elements to thankfulness. One, it's a decision. It's active. Two, it's internal, right? And it's an attitude. Thirdly, it's vertical and it's an acknowledgement of God. There's an incredible man in the Bible that we read about, where if we're not careful, we'll just read his story. We'll kind of read about him, but not actually understand how incredibly this man puts into practice all three elements of gratitude here. His story is found in Luke chapter 11, and it's about a man who was healed from leprosy. Verse 11 says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, guess what happened? They were cleansed. One of them, everybody say one of them. Only one. When he saw he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. I like the way they add that right at there. And he was a Samaritan. In other words, it's like, yeah, and he came from Springs. It's Christmas, we're giving Brakpan a break. So Jesus asked him, he says, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I want you to notice this morning, this man puts into practice all 3 facets of gratitude. Firstly, notice it's active and it was a decision. He decided to come back to Jesus. He actively was walking with his other mates. He actively said, hang on, guys, I've got to do some thank yous. Turned around and came back to Jesus. It was an active decision on his part, right? Secondly, it was internal, right? It was internal. It was a matter of the heart. You see the way he comes. He comes back to Jesus and he falls to his feet. On his knees at Jesus' feet. And he's thankful. He's like, thank you. I don't know what you did. I don't know what kind of power you got. But I do know I had leprosy 5 minutes ago. And now, holy moly.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, yeah. Can you imagine? It's internal. It was an attitude that he displayed of thankfulness. Thirdly, he knew it was vertical. He acknowledged Jesus. Why do you think he comes to Jesus' feet? Because he knows there's one person who did this. And he acknowledges and he says, just thank you. How easy it is for us to be the 9. Who just go on to Black Friday. Hey? Meanwhile, God has been the giver of so many good gifts. And we go, yeah, but there's load shedding. Yeah, but now all the roads, there's potholes because of the rain. I don't know why that came out like a 90-year-old Jewish lady, but it did. Hey, it's so easy for us to be the 9. But I want you to notice today, Jesus' words in that last verse. He says, rise and go, because your faith has made you well. Notice in the preceding wording, it tells us that all 10 were healed. But only one was made well. There is a difference between being physically healed and being made well. And don't miss it this morning. Jesus is saying the level of your gratitude determines the level of your wellness. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus is confirming in this text what the psychology professor is discovering 2,000 years later, that being grateful is good for you. Your soul, your mind, your health. Marcus Cicero said that gratitude is not only the greatest of virtues, but the parent of all others. Which is why we teach our kids to be thankful. Because it's the parent virtue of all the others. Because newsflash, I mean, I don't know, any other parents here of young kids? You feel like all you ever do is teach your kids to say thank you, 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 yes?
Yes.
Some of you have got adult kids and you're still going, say thank you, say thank you, say thank you, yes? Anybody feel my pain? Yeah. Why? Because your kids have got no hope of displaying any other virtue if they can't display the parent virtue, thankfulness. Your children, my children, will not be virtuous unless they can be thankful. It's quite a thought, eh? It's quite hectic. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, in ordinary life, we hardly realize that we receive a great deal more than we get, than we give. And it's only with gratitude that life becomes rich. What am I saying to us this morning? I'm saying that gratitude has three dimensions to it. Number one, it's active and it's a decision. Number two, it's internal and it is an attitude of our hearts. Number three, it's vertical and there's an element of acknowledging God that when we are grateful, guess what? It's good for us. It makes us well. Psychologically, spiritually, mentally, physically, it makes us well. Gratitude is good for you. You know, you can go through this Christmas season moaning and groaning about the dodgy cousins who are coming your way, or moaning about the load shedding, or moaning about the price of lamb and how it's gone up. Yes, and it has gone up, eh? Lamb. Yin. It's going to be chicken all around this Christmas. But like we can live like that, or we can go, there were 10 lepers. All 10 got healed, but only one got made well. I want to be made well. I want to be thankful. Let me give you a practice that you can take into this festive season and indeed into the new year. Give yourself a notepad, a journal, a piece of paper. Remember paper? Do you remember it? Anybody under 30, do you remember paper? Do you guys know about paper? Paper. Yeah, it's made from trees. You're cutting down all the trees. You're destroying the planet for paper. But anyway, take some paper and write down 5 minutes every day what you're thankful for. Don't write it on your phone or your iPad or your laptop, because then you're going to get your WhatsApps, and then you're going to go onto Facebook, then you're going to go onto Twitter, then you're going to see the load shedding schedule, and then gratitude's going to go up in a big, like Coburg power station. So just take a piece of paper and a pen and write down. I read an amazing story of a lady. I thought this is such a genius idea. She put a gratitude jar in place. So every day for a year, she would write down what she's grateful for. It only took her 2 minutes, just one or two things. Put it into the jar. And then at the end of the year, she was heading into the new year. She uncovered it, opened her jar, took all those things out. And before the new year set in, before she entered the new year, she read 365 things that she was grateful for that year. I thought, what a brilliant way to start the new year. Because I think if you're like me, we forget the goodness of God throughout the year. And unless we chronicle it, unless we write it down, unless we record it, unless we're intentional about it, we'll go through life with the blessings of God overtaking us at times with never a thought to the fact that this morning we woke up with breath in our lungs. Thankfully, all of you are dressed this morning. Shirts on your backs. And we'll have something to eat today. Come, let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we want to be people who are grateful, and we thank you for your word this morning that reminds us and teaches us to be thankful. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would make us grateful people, form us into grateful people. That Jesus, as he would receive a meal, he blessed it, thanked you for it. Make us like you, Jesus, that we would bless you for what we have got. We would thank you for what we have got. Would you change our hearts this morning? Soften them. Give us eyes to see your blessings. Give us hearts that are receptive and open, and notice what you do for us. May we be people of deeply grateful hearts. This morning, as we've been speaking, I believe there are people here today that you, all throughout the service this morning, you've been feeling God's love drawing you in. You don't quite know how to describe it, but it's just like you've been feeling an invitation. You've been feeling like, you know, this feeling of being drawn in, of being invited, of being called. Maybe you came with a friend, or you found us on the website, you Googled us, maybe you came with a family member, maybe you're not sure how you ended up here this morning, but you're here and you've just felt God's love drawing you. This morning I'd love the great privilege of leading you to invite Christ into your life. You know, Jesus, when he walked on the earth, every person he encountered, he called forth from them a decision, which is why in our church, as we preach about Jesus, we always give people an opportunity to respond, to come to a decision about Jesus. In a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to pray myself over you, and I'm going to try and give you some words to feel maybe what you've been expressing this morning or wanting to express. And after that prayer, I'm going to ask you to respond and let me know if that was for you. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Jesus, thank you that you love us so much. Jesus, thank you that you came to earth, that Christmas we remember, we take stock of the incarnational God who became flesh for us. We thank you for that. We honor you for that. And this morning we thank you that your love draws us. This morning we want to make a decision to say yes to you. We want to make a decision to open our hearts to you. We acknowledge that you stand at the door of our hearts and you knock and you ask, who will let me in? Well, this morning we want to be one who would let you in. We want to make a decision this morning to follow you, Jesus. That means to give our lives to you. It means to learn how to be with you and become like you and to do what you did. Here we are this morning saying thank you, and we're asking you into our lives. We're asking you to forgive us for our sins. We're asking you to forgive us for where we've gone wrong, for where we've gone down our own garden paths and it hasn't led to good places. We are going to ask you this morning to take the driver's seat. We want to ask you to take the wheel of our lives. We want to give our lives to you. That means leaving behind some stuff that we know, even in these moments, is not good for us. We want to ask for your help with that. And I want to say to you this morning, as you're praying this, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and will begin to change your life. Now, if I've prayed that prayer and this morning you felt like that was for you and you've never prayed like that before, maybe you've been distant from God, felt like, oh man, I don't know. But this morning, here I am, and you felt like that prayer was for you. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand up nice and high. I'm going to ask you to respond quickly and boldly. I'm just going to count to three in just a moment. And when I get to three, I'm going to ask you to do that, just to respond. I'm going to see your hand. I'm going to say thank you. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you feel weird, or I'm not going to identify you. I'm just simply going to say thank you. Thank you, and God bless you. And then I'm going to lead you in the next step. So that's you this morning, and you felt like that prayer was for you this morning. Across this place this morning, hands will go up. This morning, why don't you be one of those who respond to Jesus? Say yes to him. Ready to go? Here we are, all across this place. Ready? One, two, three. Hands up all across this place this morning. Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, guys at the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Up in the balcony. Thank you, up in the balcony. That's so awesome. Come with the people responding. They're still responding. Why don't you be one of them? Why don't you be one of them? Shoot your hand up right now in a moment of response. Be it my privilege to see it and say thank you for it. Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you. That's awesome. Let's stay in this moment of prayer as Pastor Ken leads us this morning.
I want to say a huge congratulations to everyone who responded. That was the best and the most life-changing decision that you could ever have made. And we want to help you on your faith journey. We have a Because You Responded book, an orange booklet, which we would love to pop in your hand. Literally, this book will take you 3 to 5 minutes to read in the week. And when you responded this morning by raising your hand, you were saying, God, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to surrender my life to you. And this book will help you with some next steps in how to respond and what's next for you. And so Thrive Church, there were so many people who responded this morning. Let's give them a huge congratulations.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.